Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.
Brooklyn's Radio Playhouse brings you a play from Upstage Surrey. And by the way, Upstage Surrey ask us to get some feedback regarding these regular offerings. Could you email any feedback to Upstage Theatre Company, figure 4, at gmail.com? That's Upstage Theatre Company, the figure 4, at gmail.com. And they do work hard, and all the feedback, good and otherwise, would be appreciated by this non-membership-funded local drama group. So tell them what you like, what you don't like, and what you'd like to hear more of.
There's a place in the sun for anyone who has the will to chase one, and I think I've found mine. Oh yes, I do believe I have found mine. So
Upstage Surrey presents The Kiss by Peter Bridge.
Kiss you. Let me kiss you.
Thank goodness we've got a seat away from the crowd. I felt like a sardine on the way up here.
Well, at least we've escaped from that boring training course.
Oh, but Ross, I did feel a bit sorry for you today.
You did?
Yes, everyone was laughing at you when you got that question on hygiene.
Including you?
Well, eventually, maybe. But you did ask for it.
Yeah, I know, I know. I hadn't been listening.
Yes, but you didn't have to tell the instructor that.
But she asked me something which sounded like she needed an answer. The answer, I didn't even know what the question was. Let alone the answer. I was just being honest.
You could have asked her to repeat the question.
Which she did anyway, so where's the problem?
But you still got the answer wrong.
I wasn't alone. I just got caught up in my own private thoughts. I mean, nobody listens to these seminars.
I do.
All right, tell me the question.
Oh, well, I can't remember now.
Exactly. That's the point. You know, they did some research into mental connectivity recently. Can you guess what they calculated as being the average time of retention of any given piece of information? That's from the time of delivery to the time it's completely forgotten.
A week? 2 days? No idea. Okay, smart ass. How long do people remember something they're told?
On average, 20 minutes. 20 minutes to forget something after having it drummed into your head. We travelled 12 miles up the line for 3 whole days to learn this stuff. What a waste of time.
That's nonsense. I remember lots of what she said yesterday, as well as today. Oh, but at least there's only one more day we've got to come up here.
Thank God for that.
It's such a boring journey.
Yeah, the back gardens of multiple tenancy hovels. Hardly uplifting.
I wish I brought a book.
How about I Spy?
Is that the best you can do?
Or a stimulating conversation?
No, thanks.
Ah, but I could do a really good icebreaker.
Okay, let's hear it.
Right. Now, don't take this the wrong way, but I'd like to kiss you.
Do you happen to know where the communication cord is located?
There we go. A challenging opening gambit with a forthright, whimsical riposte. Perfect.
I take it your opening stunning statement was simply a ploy.
No, 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 not just a ploy. It was, in fact, an honest, factual pronouncement. But I managed to encase it within a camouflaged conversational piece.
Great. And for what purpose?
To make you think. So what are you thinking?
If you've no retraction on that opening statement, one, I'm thinking, is this the creepiest chat-up line of all time? And two, Should I be preparing to relocate to another seat?
Yes, we've got to consider the obvious. Do I represent some kind of threat to you? After all, I'm not exactly encroaching on your private space, nor have I made an improper suggestion.
That's true, but your honest factual pronouncement I found just a little compromising.
Ah, yes, to bring into the open one's hidden thoughts must be a little unconventional. And I admit, in a way, somewhat forces you to be equally open.
Indeed, I'm obliged to countenance some consideration to your overt, sloppy overture to me. I could just say no, but then you didn't actually ask me a proper question.
But supposing I did ask you a question.
Well, let's put aside my personal feelings, and perhaps we should study the overall situation. Right, we're sharing a seat together in an almost empty railway carriage. I've known you for approximately 1 week since you commenced your duties with the Kingston Council. I'm a single girl. I have a long-term boyfriend with whom I'm living. You, Ross, are a good 10 years older than me. Not only that, I understand that you are married and that you have four children.
I suppose when you put it like that, it does seem that we both have commitments of sorts, but it doesn't hinder either one of us from secretly fantasizing about being with another attractive person, does it? We too have a rapport, a shared sense of humor, and just think, fate has brought us together on this magical journey through the multinational pastures of North London today.
No, it wasn't fate. My colleague in human resources told me to bring you over to Stanford today, as she told me you need looking after. I'm with you purely on sufferance.
Fair enough. But the core matter of my dissertation is merely the supplanted idea of a kiss being undertaken between friends on an otherwise uneventful journey.
I have a question for you, Ross. Do you consider a kiss to be sexual?
Of course it is. Well, sometimes. Don't they say it's the upper persuasion for a lower invasion? But generally, it depends on the participants, doesn't it? When I meet aunties and old female friends at a wedding or a funeral, it's just a 2-second peck on the cheek. Definitely platonic stuff.
So, if your wife told you that she'd kissed a man in a railway carriage, would you treat that as infidelity?
I don't think so. But I'd prefer it if she didn't tell me. And if you told your guy the same, what's his name?
It's Danny, and I tell you, he'd go mad. Well, that's if I could get his attention away from Love Island.
And if you also told Danny every single wild or wicked thought that comes into your head, do you think he'd be pleased? Or what? And have you never kissed a guy at Christmas at the office party? Or played Postman's Knock? Come on. We should all have a bit of latitude at times.
Even so, I believe that there should always be an underlying strength of loyalty between partners. It's easy to be lured or distracted by other people, but I don't think we should set out to break that close bond whenever any small opportunity arises.
Fundamentally, I agree with you. But if any departures from a stable relationship could be controlled, regulated in some way.
By a stable relationship, in your case, you'd mean marriage.
And don't forget that you, Rebecca, are equally committed with Danny.
Yes, but what do you mean by controlled departures?
I'm talking about an allowance, say a rationed one free kiss a month. Think how uplifting this could be, a meaningless but enjoyable smacker once a month. And yet you still retain that strong sanctity of marriage or togetherness.
If the kiss is so meaningless, what would be the point of it?
Oh, but think of the benefits, the reassurance that you're still considered desirable by others, the sensual feeling of a new person's arms around you. The health-giving benefits of a romantic embrace, the lowering of blood pressure, the soothing of those feel-good hormones. At the same time, it's also burning up the calories, as well as supplying the heightened feelings of a sexual awakening every new month. Now, compare that with the stale, routine, overworked, and monotonous maneuvers slavishly performed by your regular guy. It could even improve your relationship in the long run.
So I'd be freely excused to say to Danny, I haven't used up this month's allowance, so I'm going out tonight to pull some stranger to claim my monthly snog.
In no way, yes. But then again, diplomacy would direct you to disguise any areas of possible discontent.
By that, you mean lie to him.
Yes, well, just as you do by faking the big O.
That's different.
Only a different area. It's the same work of deception.
You have a warped idea about love.
But what is love? I mean, could you love another person of your own gender?
Well, yes, a family member, definitely.
But not in the same way that you could love someone so deeply that you would wish to spend the rest of your life with them, with intimacy and passion determining this desire?
No, of course not. That's a different sort of love.
So you're admitting that you can only love a person deeply who is of the opposite gender and fanciable.
Yes, in that way. Well, unless I was gay.
So, in a romantic situation, to adore and cherish another individual must indicate that sex or sexual attraction would be your main stimulus.
What are you getting at?
Well, that a strong feeling you have for a new lover, if you call that feeling love, can only endure whilst the sexual attraction remains in place. Don't you think that's a superficial element upon which to build a relationship?
Yes, if you phrase it like that. But other shared interests also play their part in maintaining that initial desire for each other.
But would you still refer to it as being love when libido is waning and those shared interests are becoming boring?
Yes, I'd still use the same name. It's still love, though the feelings of passion can be considerably watered down over the years. Then I prefer to call it a bond.
Do you think you could love a man bearing a wooden leg and, as an accessory, a colostomy bag?
I have to admit that that would not exactly enhance his appeal.
So if you break it down, this watered-down condition you still call love, initially based on absolute perfection and appeal and physical faultlessness, but now rebranded by you as a bond, can this really compensate for the shortfall in desire?
No, but it can still be a powerful feeling of connection.
Maybe. But some might agree that the monotony of monogamous living isn't love, merely a commitment, and therefore it surely entitles you to seek true affection away from home.
I see. Like seeking a hobby, I suppose. Maybe you could tell your wife, I'm just off to do some stamp collecting or train spotting, and maybe I'll chat with the chemist and give her a good tonsil tickling while I'm at it.
Perhaps not, Rebecca, but, well, I said my piece. Just three more stops at Chessington North and I'm getting tired of battling with you. It was a nice conversation, a most pleasant way of passing the time.
Even so, I'm still recovering from your initial bold announcement that you wanted to kiss me. I wasn't ready for that.
No, I didn't say I wanted to kiss you. I said I'd like to kiss you.
Oh, don't split hairs. How do you expect me to react when you make a personal statement like that?
But to want could be a burning desire, whereas to like could simply be a flight of fancy without involving any serious intention.
But you emplaced an unwanted image in my mind, and now you've truncated your penetrating discourse because we're nearly home.
What? Would you want me to continue my oration until we get to your doorstep? Maybe we could then bring Danny into the discussion.
That wouldn't be a great idea. But I would have preferred that you'd continue with that masterpiece of hypothesis onwards so that I could battle with you until I could cleanse the debatable thought of a mutual snog from my brain.
Oh, I wouldn't let that worry you. I don't think I ever got close to convincing you about the liberty of choice for people in partnerships.
Actually, I believe that you made me think a couple of times. There's a certain truth in a lot that you've said, and it's probably only lip service to convention that's keeping me in check on this subject.
Weirdly, in reality, I'm tending to veer in the opposite direction to the one I've been proposing. I love a spirited argument on any subject. Sometimes I get more enthusiasm in being the devil's advocate.
Well, sometimes I think you're the devil himself. I don't think I'd want to be married to you.
Well, you haven't got much chance now. And I have no chance of a sweet kiss or any excitement at all when I get home, other than watching my pink tulips emerging out of their fancy pots.
But, Ross, I'm sure you could still convince me if you really tried.
I could debate the case better if I was really sure myself.
Well, why don't you try, Ross? I'd hate to see your brilliant oratory going to waste.
Well, come on, we're nearly at our home station.
But you've certainly had me wondering about my relationship with Danny.
Oh, I can only apologise for that. I had no wish whatsoever to imperil your partnership.
But you insinuated that our relationship had been based upon trivial and frivolous qualities. I mean, he's a handsome enough brute with a great personality. But is that really going to see us through to old age?
I hope so.
But you advocated that a monthly snog is quite acceptable. Sometimes I could cry out for that much affection.
I'm sorry, it wasn't a serious suggestion.
But Ross, did you really want to claim that kiss you mentioned?
That wasn't my motivation.
Yes, but it's not a bad idea, is it?
Maybe it is a bad idea.
Oh, Ross, I don't know what's worse. You as a lounge Lothario, or you in an old stick-in-the-mud goody-two-shoes.
What can I say? I'd be delighted to take you in my arms and kiss you, but even after some utterly persuasive seduction on my part earlier, I still have to live with myself.
Ross.
Yes?
Kiss me?
I'd like to, but only if you're really, really sure.
I said, kiss me.
Hang on.
Oh, Ross.
Yes, dear?
Would you believe we've missed our station? We'll have to get off at Chessington South instead. I didn't plan on going all the way.
It took long enough just lining up for a kiss.
I meant all the way to Chessington South, the end of the line.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I wonder how Danny will greet me. I hope he can say something nice to put all those other crazy thoughts out of my head.
Smile and let me kiss you. Let me kiss you.
Hi, hun. Hey, you just missed a real humdinger of a thing on film on Netflix. Real all-action stuff. Sorry I didn't do the dishes. I left them in the sink.
That's all right. I'll do them.
Did you have a good day?
Yeah. Not bad.
How's that training course going? Did you learn anything today?
I think so. Today, I learned quite a lot.
Oh, that's good.
The trouble is, they say the memory of it only lasts for 20 minutes. But now, I believe that couldn't possibly be true.
Does he love me? I want to know. How can I tell if he loves me?
You have been listening to The Kiss by Peter Bridge, directed by Carol Buchanan. Vaughan Evans as Ross and Annie, and Lindsay Crotchett as Rebecca. Edited by Colin Hansford, music courtesy of YouTube. Upstage Surrey, creating entertainment written and performed by local people for local people.
Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.